Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schenkelberg. Carl and I, well, first off, I should say thanks for joining us and joining us for this conversation. Carl and I were just talking about the process of getting a reliability plan started and the question of how much of the strategy vision type stuff do you need to do before you go in to figure out what tools you need and what details you need. You know, Carl, so many people want to dive right in and say, oh, we need to do FMEA and HALT and we're done. That may really miss the mark.
Yeah, it's like a ready, what is that, ready, fire, aim?
Well, it's action-oriented, right? People want to do that.
Sure, and I understand that. People are pressed for time, that type of thing. So let's just think for a minute, Fred, as to what's the first thing you do when you want to develop a reliability plan? Like, where do you start?
I'm old-fashioned, so I pull out a piece of paper. in the details, but it's even the first step of a plan. Once you actually get to a plan, is well, what's the goal? What's the intent? How good does this product need to be when you're done? But that getting to that point actually starts much earlier, I think, and I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, it does. The to me, I've always, no matter what I want to do, if I want to build a home or climb a mountain, it starts with a vision of where you want to be. Mm-hmm. So it could be very conceptual, like say we wanted to climb a mountain. So you'd have to select which mountain you're going to climb and when and what some of your strategies are.
Mm-hmm. What
kind of gear and what's the terrain going to be and how many, you know, the people, that type of thing. So that step of setting the goal is a concept, and it also has some discussion. If I was now shifting gears from a mountain to a company, I'd want to talk with management and see where they want to be in terms of reliability.
Well, you're talking about where do we want to be for reliability? I've had some of those conversations where the senior manager says, oh, reliability is important. Just make it reliable. And I'm like, well, that, you know, do you want it to be, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by reliability? And so I would challenge that.
Let's do a role play. Let's say you're coming in and you say, and I come back to you and you say, oh yeah, yeah, reliability is important. Don't bother me. You know, basically, yeah. I got other things to do. What would you say? Well, how do you get their attention?
First of all, I'd be aware. This is sidebar. I'd be aware of where you are on the organization chart.
I'm your boss's boss.
Okay, so you're fairly high up, and I would then discuss what the value of reliability is. Why do they want to achieve reliability? I would say, do you have 15 minutes we could talk about this? I would carve out some time, first of all. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to do this while we're walking down the aisle. And then I would get into a discussion about the value of reliability. What's their warranty? Let's say you have I try to assess with management what problem they're solving. And so maybe they want reliability because they want it as a brand. Maybe they want to just checkbox that they're doing the right thing. Those are not necessarily the best.
Well, they're not the same either. I'd break it down. The way you're describing it is if they want it to be a significant part of their brand, the brand purchase thing, right? The mm-hmm. people buy your product because it's perceived as or is reliable. Well, then it needs to be better than the competition or notably better so that people recognize it as the reliable option. If it's just that we're doing the right things, then it's middle of the pack. We need to be as good as, but not necessarily better than other people. And I would ask, is that what you mean? And you mentioned warranty. Plenty of folks are concerned about the money part and saying, well, what's your, right now we're paying 4% of net revenue. What is your target? What percentage are you looking to get to? And what's the end goal of that? And because that translates straight to profit. Others are, don't get in the way of innovation. We want it to be timely and time to market, and reliability just seems to get in the way. They may be their concern. So is that that's the kind of discussion I'd want to get into.
Yeah, exactly. And what you need to find is where the person is at, what motivates them. If we're talking about management, get inside the problems that they're seeing, and then start talking about how achieving reliability can help them achieve what they think they need to achieve. Maybe it's the bottom line. Maybe it's warranty. Maybe it's brand. If it's brand, I'd ask them, I would try to assess with them, are they talking about just the title of brand, or do they want to authentically and actually have high reliability as the brand, and not just the, you know,
in the marketing material.
Yeah, exactly. And I would get into what their warranty costs are, and then how reliability. So if the problem is the management's not seeing the value of reliability, we got to start there, because developing a reliability plan with a management that doesn't see the value in reliability is not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. When you mean by not go anywhere, it's gets lip service, but it doesn't get funded or invested in or followed through on. That's what you mean, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, sometimes there's a mandate. So they might have a customer like the Department of Defense or someplace that says, you must develop a certain reliability plan, but they're heart and soul isn't in it, that would not be good.
No.
So I'd want to be sure that we actually have a heart-to-heart conversation on the value of reliability. Once that gate is passed, now we can talk about what the vision is. So we want to get to the actual vision, and it can include a reliability number, but it's more than that. Like you said earlier, it might be, where do we stack up against the competition? Maybe we need to be better than the best, or maybe something else. And then what does that mean in terms of infrastructure? Mm-hmm. And so where are we headed in 1 year, 3 year, 5 years? So all those are topics that I think precede. I really feel strongly about this. They need to precede developing the reliability plan, and they need to precede the gap analysis itself.
Right, right. And so these provide, I think, two things. One is where we're going, which is one half of that gap assessment, essentially, is you need to know where you're going and which, so that you can determine what you need to do to get there. I mean, I think you often use the quote, Carl, of Covey, Stephen Covey, right? Now I'm drawing a complete blank.
Begin with the end in mind. Stephen Covey.
Yeah, that's it. Begin with the end in mind.
Seven Habits of Successful People.
That's right. So I think that's not uncommon in management ranks and world, that should not be uncommon to do, and it should be, doesn't take
not
very long. Now I've run into organizations where a senior vice president of customer service was really only interested in turning around repairs faster, right? To the extent that he didn't collect any data, he did no failure analysis, no feedback to the design team, except on very rare occasions. Now, he wasn't the one saying that they needed to improve. The director of engineering and the CEO were both saying, hey, we need to fix this reliability thing and get it going. They invested in building a team, and that's where I got involved. And I sat down with this VP, and it became very clear very quickly that he was not interested in improving reliability at all. And can you guess why?
Short-term vision, short-term thinking.
Yeah, yeah. He was doing a really good job at fixing things. And if you fixed reliability, there wouldn't be anything to fix. He would diminish his status and role in the organization. And You know, what would you do in that case? You're sitting down with this guy, he's influential in the organization and is pivotal in collecting the information the rest of the organization needs to improve reliability. How would you handle that one?
Well, I've faced a lot of people in my career that value fixing problems over preventing problems. Mm-hmm. And there's some good reasons why they've had that bias, mm-hmm. I'm sure, in their past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get some wonky people that have a lot of theory and, you know, don't necessarily know how to apply it, that type of thing. And so such a problem fixer might say, let's just get to the chase and fix the problems. So there can be lots of reasons for it. Another one is, if you recall, Myers-Briggs, mm-hmm. That personality instrument, many people are problem solvers, hands-on. Myers-Briggs differentiates the people who are visionary or think in concepts and big picture people from the problem solvers. And frankly, you need both in any organization.
Right.
So, but when you're in management, your vision has to span both.
Yeah.
So if I run into somebody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this guy, it was his empire, right? He just got his parking spot because he had so many staff and he was so important. And he bragged about that. So let me give you a little extra clue about this personality. Right. I mean, we can talk theory and all that other good stuff. And it was, and I'm sure you've run into people, and he was very masterful at getting his organization built and hiring the right people and getting the tools and equipment to turn around repairs very fast. He was really good at that. But that runs contrary to the larger picture is what, we're getting at.
Exactly. That can be very useful if you're in the assembly manufacturing area or field resolution, and you grab the problem, fix it, or diagnose it, fix it, and people can build substantial careers around that. Right. The problem is, if you're in management, you need to span the product development process. You need to span from concept through to success in the field. And in order to do that, the fixing problems is the expensive and long way to go about it. Yes, you could develop great products if you had infinite time and infinite money by test and fix. But we have learned that you cannot, in the environment we're in, fast to market, low cost, high reliability, it's impossible to use test and fix as your primary approach. So those people that look at fixing problems as their sole province and poo-poo the subject of prevention, they're not going to be successful in the competitive world they're in. They might be successful for a short period of time, but not long range. And clearly, we're not going to achieve reliability goals through test and fix alone.
That's right. So part of it was interesting in that organization is that the discussion, we really needed that customer service group to participate and so on. And so to make a long story short, is we basically made the argument is that your customers are not happy. And here's the evidence. You have these records and call records and stuff that are saying, you know, it's great, you can get it back to me tomorrow, but now I don't have that service of that device for 24 hours. And it does this every month. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm looking elsewhere. So the market share numbers were getting hurt. It left a door open for competition. We made the bigger picture, it's not just reliability, it's revenue and customer satisfaction spans not just fixing it quickly. It spans not having to fix it. And once he understood that was also part of his charter, then he hired a statistician. They were doing more failure analysis and it worked out really well. But it was that discussion at the start, going back to what you mentioned, Carl, was the you got to know where you're at, what the management team's willing to support and get behind and encourage and so on. And differentiating what's just lip service, which may be a lack of connection to the value that the reliability program can provide. And but it's also to make sure you're going in the same direction. We don't want to make the best reliable, most reliable, highly reliable part or product when that's really not the aim. Or vice versa.
So going back to our theme here of where do you start on creating a reliability plan, you need to start with a conversation with management and listening, making sure that you're talking their language and getting them on board in the best way that you can, getting them on board. Mm-hmm. Once they're on board, then we can talk about the vision, where you want to be, what in our book we call develop the reliability strategic vision, and all of that can be done if they're on board. But let me just make another comment about, because we like to go we call it the 5-step process, where you start out with that vision and then you go into the other steps. But what do you do? Because we posed that at the beginning. What do you do if someone's short-sighted in management and says, well, we don't need that vision stuff. We just can start with a gap analysis, or we can start with
just write a
developing
plan.
The plan.
Yeah.
You know,
just write a plan.
To me, you have to challenge them and say, why do you want a reliability plan? And get them to be thinking about that.
Now, isn't that a hazardous question to have an employee ask and say, but I know I've done it. And
yeah.
I was hoping I'd get out of having to write the plan. This is, well, it's just a checkbox. Well, who's going to read it? Nobody. All right. Well, I'm not going to waste my time writing it then. But the answer I got was, no, it's important because it's critical to our customers getting the reliability at the end of the day. And he said, you need to lay out the steps that help us achieve that objective. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I got to go to work.
Yeah. I just to say, isn't that a bit risky? Yes, it is, Fred. And particularly for a reliability engineer who has not been in management. Yes, it can be a bit risky, but no risk, no gain, so to speak. And frankly, if you can understand where your management's coming from, look at things from their point of view, see the problems that they run into, and talk their language, it is definitely worth the risk to speak up and challenge them on why they want a reliability plan.
Yep.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I do too. I find it frustrating to do something, right? And then it's not used. It's not pivotal. It's not important. I know you've seen it, Carl, as an organization will say, we'll do halt testing. And so they take a couple of prototypes, they run it down to the lab, they shake it and bake it and learn all kinds of interesting things about how the product's weaknesses are showing themselves. And you send it back to the engineering team, says, oh, we already locked the design. We can't do any of that.
Yeah, that's more of a checkbox approach. Well, we did it, but we're not using it.
That's right.
A lot of value.
That's right. And you've seen it with FMEAs. And I've even seen it where an organization will send the bill of materials to an outside organization to calculate the derated values for all their components and then not relay out the board to use those components. But they did derating. They didn't. It's not in the design. And FMEAs and HALTs and all kinds of things, people will connect. We'll do stuff and then nobody looks at it. And that's just frustrating. And so it's a common question for me right at the start is, well, who's going to use this? What's the purpose of this thing? Now, that might be a discussion for a whole nother topic.
It might be, but I agree. You have to ask that at every step of the way.
Yeah.
What decisions are we making? How are we using the information? And always keep that in mind as you go forward.
Right. So but that same line of questioning starts right at the start, right? Is, well, why do we need this? What extent do we have to have a reliable product? And how does that fit into where we're going, what we need to do?
Excellent. Excellent points. So that about wraps up our time. I would ask the listeners, please, if you have a question or if you have a suggestion, please get in touch with us. Any comments, we're very, very anxious to hear from you. Go to ExcendoReliability.com. facebook.com/go/SOR. Let us know what you're thinking.
All right. That's good. All right. Thanks, Carl. Good topic.
Yeah. Thanks, Fred. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.